Hello, welcome to another episode of Unpacking Your Queerness. Once again, I do apologize for the lack of consistent episodes. I was, until relatively recently, pushing out one episode per week on average. And that has proven to be more challenging as of recently. However, I do have other exciting projects that I've been working on, and one of them is a film about neurodivergent perspectives from the inside. My friend and I are working on producing a film, which we will also be starring in. And it is going to attempt to highlight different neurodivergent perspectives from the inside. So we'll have multiple neurodivergent characters, and we're going to use, of course, a lot of my autistic experiences, my experiences with ADHD, particularly late discovered ADHD, but as we all know on this podcast, when you get a diagnosis for something like autism or ADHD, it's actually something that you've always had your whole life. Your brain has always been autistic or ADHD or whatnot. But the main difference, the thing is that you now know it. It's not like something like a disease, like cancer, which is not comparable to neurodivergence, because as I said many times before, neurodivergence is not a disease. But a lot of people, when they think of diagnosis, they think of something like cancer, and cancer is something that usually, when you're diagnosed with it, you've just developed it relatively recently. Of course, cancer also has many stages, and people aren't always identified right away, or the cancer, I should say, isn't always identified right away. But neurodivergence is not a disease. It's not a pathology. It's a style of brain functioning. Not to say that that can come with disabilities, and that can come with struggles, and that certain neurodivergent people need support, that's all true, but it doesn't make it a disease. It's more of a difference. And when you discover that difference, it is a difference that you've had your whole life, but you're just discovering it late. So people make this assumption sometimes that such person got diagnosed with ADHD at 40, so that means that they've only had ADHD, or that they're going to start at since 40, or that they're going to start showing their ADHD after the diagnosis. And that might happen because of unmasking, because they're allowing themselves to be themselves now that they know that certain things about them are ADHD related, but it doesn't mean that they've not had ADHD before that, and they might have been masking it more, but it's something that has always been present. So basically, it's a long way of saying that I'm going to be talking a lot about my experiences with being late diagnosed autistic and ADHD. And I'm also, my friend Emma is going to be inputting her experiences with OCD, which is a different kind of neurodivergence. And it is one that tends to have symptoms associated with it that do require support, and in some cases treatment. So that's a different experience, but it's also a form of neurodivergence. It's just associated with more negative symptoms in a way, or symptoms that can have an effect on people that in some cases do need to be treated, if you will, which is different from autism, but there are a lot of similarities still with the autistic experience and the OCD experience. And amongst autistic people, there are people that have both autism and OCD to start. And amongst autistic people, there can be many differences, and amongst people with OCD, there can be many differences as well. So we're gonna be trying to highlight that in that film, and that's something I'm really excited about. A film that I've been planning to make for a long time now. I've been wanting to make this film for a long time. I just feel like there's not enough representation from the inside. A lot of films and TV that we see that talk about autism and neurodiversity are very much of an outside perspective, what it looks like to non-autistic or non-neurodivergent friends and family members, but not from the perspective of the neurodivergent person themselves. So I'm excited to announce that I've been working on that with my friend, and it's been really awesome to work on this with someone else as well, because it is such a big topic to tackle, and there's so many different nuances and different neurotypes and different experiences that I feel like working with someone else, particularly someone else who's also neurodivergent but has different experiences with different neurotypes, different needs for support and such. I think it's really helpful because it gives me not only a different, more nuanced perspectives to work with, but it's helpful to have help with any project. There's one thing that I've learned with my first two projects is that even to just make like little short comedies like I have so far, is it does take a lot of work. It's all the way from writing to reviewing, to planning a shoot, to shooting the film itself, to post-production is definitely a long process. So it's nice to have help with that, have people that are collaborating on it with you. And the next thing I wanted to talk about is that we do have, I do have some really cool guest episodes lined up, planning to release those soon. Tonight, I'm actually going to be recording one of those episodes, and so hopefully within the next week, depending on how long it takes me to edit everything, I can have that one available. And I have another one that I just scheduled in the books for early September. So do stay tuned for that as well. And another little thing I wanted to talk about, which I know it's taken me 8 minutes to get to, but something I've been realizing is just how long the movement has been around. And I always like to challenge this pushback that I see in online spaces about people accusing people that go out on online to speak about their neurodivergent experiences, particularly late diagnosed people. Those of us who do go speak on our experiences on social media do often get accused of being trendsetters, or like that we're somehow trying to start a trend on Instagram, that people aren't legitimately neurodivergent, but they are just trying to get attention or clout, which is really perplexing to me, because there's usually not much attention or clout that comes with being autistic or ADHD or otherwise disabled. It's usually a lot of being ostracized and being misunderstood and not being accommodated. So the whole idea of getting any clout from talking about neurodivergence in social media is a bit does not make a lot of sense to me in the to start. And additionally to that, it's important to point out that the neurodiversity paradigm has been around since the neurodiversity movement actually started in the 1990s, which was way before social media. And the reason we have so many people being late diagnosed now is because understanding of different presentations amongst neurodivergent people, especially non-white people and women, is becoming more understood, and that's because these groups have been historically excluded from diagnostic criteria research until very recently, and a lot of the diagnostic criteria still doesn't account properly for how neurodivergent women and people that aren't white tend to mask their neurodivergence and tend to present in society compared to people that are socialized as young white or white passing men. So I just always find it important to highlight that. And I also like to highlight that there's a lot of criticism that comes from mostly non-autistic parents of autistic kids with higher support needs. And the thing is, these parents, they're led to believe that newly discovered and newly diagnosed people who might have lower support needs than their children, but still, you can't really judge someone's support needs if you don't really know them. And I also just find it ironic that people give a hard time to people who self-diagnose because they're not able to afford a formal diagnosis. And they tout like how they're supposed to have a formal diagnosis, but those same people who make those criticisms are the ones diagnosing people on social media as not autistic or not ADHD. So they're against self-diagnosis coming from the individuals that are self-diagnosing as autistic, but they're okay with self-diagnosing those same individuals as not autistic, which it just makes me feel like it's because they don't want to see how there is a lot more prevalence of autism in different people out there than many people want to believe that there is. There's one rate of autism and that it's supposed to be that rate, and but then you ask them and they don't actually have an explanation as to why there it's supposed to be this one rate, and why are do they believe there are more than there that why do they believe that the current rate outstrips that, because there are arguments as to why it is still something that is neurodivergence, autism, ADHD, dyslexia, beyond. These are still things that are very underdiagnosed, and a lot of people struggle to get the support they need because of that. And people also believe that people coming out self-diagnosed and such, even if they do have lower support needs, which, by the way, you cannot tell without knowing someone, there's this belief that they're taking away from resources for the higher support needs folks. But the reality is that the system that we live in doesn't provide enough resources for everyone. So it's like, oh, this kid, or this person coming out online, or this adult or whatever, is stealing the juice from my kid. And it's not that. We're not trying to steal juice from anyone. The problem is there's not enough juice. The problem is the system. The person that is pouring the juice, which represents the system that we live in today, is not pouring enough juice, does not provide enough juice. And it's really because most of our society, like the system that we live to, in today, prioritizes constant productivity and people who are able to produce and at constant, consistent rates, and looks down on people who aren't able to, instead of trying to accommodate their own styles. And anyways, that's why we have a system that doesn't provide enough support. And that, of course, ends up affecting those who need the most support. But it's not fair to blame people who also need support, maybe less, maybe in different areas. But that doesn't mean they're taking away from anyone. Who's taking away is the system that doesn't provide enough. But anyways, it's been a very rambly episode. But those are essentially the two things I wanted to talk about today. If you were able to get something out of this, I'm glad. I hope you were able to get something out of this. And without further ado, thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time.